you,
Camille.
Camille? I was thinking, you know those movie stars, they always have cute dressed girls do stuff for them because it makes them look good. So, Camille, you're mine. I was thinking Vanna White, but you're better than Vanna White. Rick? Oh, you don't have something? I thought you had something. Paul, you can tell me something. What's, because I was just thinking this, because it's important. We've been giving to Mohan for 20 years every month. And a blue-collar, general, hardworking person, how many American dollars do they have to, do they pay them a day? About $15 a day to pay a skilled blue-collar worker. And guys, every dollar we send makes a difference. I mean, they can hire a pastor for, I forgot now, but Mohan had told me once, $200, $300, $400 a month, something like that. It's like, but guys, so what we give, it may not be big numbers, but it interprets big in India. So I thank you so much for supporting them and what they're doing. Children, ages 3 to 11, we have History Makers teachers. They're waiting at the back door, and they're always anxious to go. Mr. James is doing, you doing History Makers today, James? Wow, Mr. James is doing it today. Come on. No bloody noses, no emergency room deals. I've got something to talk about. I was did a little research this week. It's interesting. I've known something for a while, and y'all know this if you know me. I have a passion for children. I really do. I believe that they're just so important. And they grow up and become adults. And our future, our destiny is all in the hands of kids. And so I'm excited about kids' lives. And you know, there's something that I learned years ago. Children, you know, now that we have neuroscience, people that study neurology, the pathways in the brain and how our brains work, what they've discovered is you do 100 times better when a child is taught by somebody who cares about them. Like it, they can measure that. It's a big deal. So I did a little research, and I just want to tell you guys, I don't know that y'all appreciate yourselves enough. Like that you really understand how important your life is in this world and how much you matter. So I want to just spend a second looking at this before we go on today. The role of adults. The essential role of adults in child development. Adults play a crucial role in shaping the development of children, providing them with guidance, nurturing, and support. You know, it's very important in kids' lives. Adults influence children. Teenagers influence children. You see, we are the primary influencers. Too often we point fingers at the world and you got one finger pointing at the world and four pointing back at you. The truth is we actually influence children more than media, more than the news, more than anything else in the world. The adults do that. And not only do we influence them, the input provided by adults significantly influences a child's cognitive, social, and emotional development, laying the foundation for future success and well-being. It's true. They've tracked this, and Daniel was telling me he had heard this study. They tracked it, and children that had a kindergarten teacher that was experienced and was knew what they were doing, knew how to teach, those children, by the time they're in their mid-20s, on average, make more money than children who didn't have an experienced kindergarten teacher. Isn't that interesting how that plays out that way? We have another one. Strong relationships with children fosters trust, security, a sense of belonging, and it creates a nurturing environment that's good for their holistic growth. You see, without adults, children aren't going to prosper, and they don't do well. And I think we don't realize that. Encouragement and motivation from adults are essential for children to believe in themselves. Their self-esteem, their self-worth, their ability to go on in life is fostered by adults who encourage and motivate. It's very important what you do. And I just want you to know that. There are different types of positive input for children. It includes guidance, support, encouragement. It's crucial. We're going to talk about that a little more. Adults can provide guidance by offering advice, direction, and mentorship to children. It really does matter. You help them navigate the challenges of life. It's just like what happens with us. You know, God helps us navigate the challenges we face as adults. Adults help children navigate the challenges they face, and they face challenges. It's beautiful, I think, when I look at what y'all do in people's lives, and it really does make a difference. Positive reinforcement, praise, and acknowledgement of children's efforts boosts their self-esteem and motivation to learn and grow. Guys, we impact children's lives all the time. And the truth is, quality time, spending quality, meaningful time engaging in the activities with children strengthens bonds, enhances communication, and creates lasting memories. You see, it's like so many of you do so well. I mean, I'm amazed at how we as a group of people together pay attention to children and do stuff. And you know, we have next Sunday night at 5 p.m., we're going to have a hot dog party, and we're going to have blow-ups put up, and we're going to play with the kids, and it's going to be a family night. We're going to have a family picnic. We're going to provide everything, and it's a big deal. It makes a difference. I've seen you guys do it. I've seen the kids out playing on those blow-ups. And, you know, we adults, we can do two things. We can be disengaged and remote and removed, or we can engage ourselves in those kids' lives. I've seen a kid get two eyes full of soapy water when they're out playing in the play-up blow-ups, and they can't see, they hurt, you know, little kids. And I've seen you take them and hold them, reassure them, wash the soap out of their eyes. And you know what? That did something lasting in that kid's life. They were... You see, what happens is we want to create opportunities. You know, what's this mean? What's this mean to us? You see, you make an impact in kids' lives, and you make an impact in the world. It really is big. You know, this is one thing Jesus said that's one of the most powerful things he said that I think of a lot. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went out and sold everything he had, and he bought that field. That's how valuable the treasure was. Do you know what treasure is hidden in the earth? It's not gold or rubies or diamonds or minerals, oil. No, it's humans. Do you know what's valuable in our world? It's people. It's children and teenagers and adults and all ages. People are what God looks at the world. When God looks at the world, he sees something extremely valuable. It was so valuable to him that he gave his son for you, for me, for our neighbors, for the youngest kid to the oldest adult. You see, that's what's hidden in this field. You know what's hidden here? And so when you look at a child, you're looking at something precious, something rare, something unique, something more valuable than any precious stone you could ever buy. And that's who we are. And I look at this and you look at that, and this is how God saw us. For God so loved the world, right? This is our most well-known memory verse. God loved the world. He didn't love the money. He didn't love the governments. He didn't love the power. He loved people. He loved people. And I believe that that's such a huge thing for us. You see, the truth is, you are God's treasure. You're his treasure. You're what he saw before he created the earth. When he created the earth, he did it so God could love you. He created all of this, all the universes, all the cosmos, everything, so he could know you, so he could have a relationship with you. He loved you that much. This whole thing, this world revolves around God's heart, and it's around his love. You know, I see you doing that here at Grace Fellowship, and we've got some, you know, we've been having family night on Wednesday nights, And this coming Wednesday is the last family night of this semester. Then we're going to take a three-week break, and September 11th, I believe is the day, we'll be coming back and starting family night again. The purpose of family night is so that humans can have people, you, me, all of us can have encounters with Jesus Christ. Love Himself. You know, I really, last week was fun. It was unusual. It was different. During Dana Whistled had a vision, a picture, and her and Missy pray, and they pray, and God had said, listen, I want to do something in women's lives. And so they asked you ladies to come up front and gather, and we did worship with y'all standing up here. And you know, the reason we have church is so that you can have an encounter with God. So that we can have encounters with God. So we can experience love. Because God values us. He values you. It's funny. So last Sunday we had the ladies come up, which sort of excluded the men. Except as the worship was going on, that one crazy song about my broken heart is broken into pieces. It sort of got me. And so before I dismissed the ladies to go sit down, I'm like, I had something messed up inside. I don't know how to describe that. I wasn't good, you know. I needed him. And I'm like, what better opportunity? So I said, anybody here that's got a broken heart? I was mainly talking to myself. I don't know if anybody else responded. I didn't notice. But let these ladies pray for you. And so during that last song, I came over and I found Marceline. She was sitting in a chair. She just walked out for a second. And I'm like, you know what? The other ladies were praying for people and stuff. So I said, well, I want Marceline to pray for me. And I went over and I knelt down in front of her so I'd be on her level. And I told her it was me. And I said, Marceline, I need that. And she laid a hand on my shoulder, and she prayed. And I can't tell you, I can't quote what she prayed. I think the words she said. But I'm going to tell you, something happened to me. That pain disappeared. You see, that's what life is about. And I bet some of you last week when we were praying, I had you ladies, you prayed for each other. We prayed. We're here so that other people can encounter God. Ushers are here so that you can encounter God and I can encounter God. The worship team is here so that we can encounter love Himself. Jesus came to the world and laid down His life so that we could encounter God, because the world changer is encountering Him. If you have a pain in your heart, if you're hurting, all you need is Him. And you can experience the same thing. It's like our whole world is like that. And so God so loved the world, He gave His Son so that He could. You know, I wrote this down because it's a big deal to me. I remember a children's song that I learned in Vacation Bible School when I was a kid. This song is called, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Does anybody else know that song besides me? Like, raise your hand so I can see. Yeah, half of us know it. Yeah, that's a rocking song. It's like, He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world. And that's almost the whole song. I just taught you the song. You got it. He does. And He's holding it because He loves it. He's holding it the way I would hold a baby like Emsley. He's holding it because He loves you. And He wants to hold you. You see, for God, in creation, God created an opportunity to love us. What He did was create an opportunity so that we can encounter His love. You see, God, He wants to know you. I know that's crazy. He's like, wouldn't He rather know a nuclear scientist or something? No, He wants to know you. Yeah, but the only thing I really care about is deer hunting. Yeah, he wants to know you, but I'm a redneck. He loves rednecks. Well, you're an intellectual. He loves intellectuals. Well, I'm old. He loves old. He loves playing checkers and bingo. He loves it because he loves you. He loves you. You see, God said that. He wants to know you. He'd made this whole thing just so he could know you. And he wants to do it today. He wants to love you. He wants to care for you. He wants to know your needs. He wants to know your heart. He wanted me to be open last week and let somebody pray for my heart. God wanted that. And when Marceline prayed for me, it wasn't what she did. It was the Spirit working through her that touched my heart and made me happy when I wasn't happy. You know, God really does. He wants, you know, and this is so funny to me. He wants to do life with people. He wants to. You mean all my life? Like we were singing that song earlier and we were talking about things. I'm like, well, God, if I'm going to give you my whole heart, sometimes my heart's interested in fixing stuff. Sometimes my heart's interested in digging dirt. Sometimes I'm interested in helping people. Sometimes I'm interested in something else. God wants it all because he wants to do life with you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to provide for you. Your money, everything about your life, your relationships, your car, your broken bicycle. He wants to, just like I want to provide for my family. I want to provide for my grandchildren. I want to. They don't have to beg me. Like, I'd be hurt if they wouldn't let me. We gave little Emma a birthday present yesterday. She had a birthday party, and I wanted to go to the party. Sort of. But it was fun. I want to because it's my granddaughter. God wants to provide for you. He wants to be one with you. He doesn't just want to hear about you. He wants to engage in your life. He wants to take your sorrows. He wants to celebrate your joys. He wants to be with you when you're grieving. He wants to be with you. He wants to be one with you. You know, I love this. He wants to celebrate with you. When you're happy, he wants to be happy. When I beat Dad at checkers the other day, and I was like, yeah, baby. I even bragged to the other residents that's assisted living, but I had to confess that I cheated to beat him. And I did. Because he can't remember which color he is, and he moved my guy once and set me up for a triple jump. And I'm like, come on. And then I told him, I said, Dad, you're black. I'm red this time. And so I beat him, and he didn't even notice I beat him, but I noticed. God celebrated with me, even though I cheated. That's hard to believe, isn't it, that God loves you that much, that he wants to be with you. Now, he wants to grieve with you. Have you ever grieved before? Not everybody has. It's hard. It's really hard. Do you know that Jesus wants to do with you? And that, you know what happens when he grieves with you? He carries your burden. And what you had alone, now you have someone carrying it with you. You see, God wants to grieve with you. He wants to celebrate with you. He wants to be an overcomer with you. He wants to do that with you. Now, you know what we want to do? Here's funny. I got this verse. I was just reading it. After this manner, Matthew 6, when they asked Jesus, how do we pray, Jesus? The disciples asked him. He said, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven. We love heaven. You know, heaven's all good, right? It's a great place to be. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know that God's plan for earth is that the same thing going on in heaven is going on here? Like, is anybody crying in heaven? No. Is there a party going on? Yes. Is it amazing? Yes. That's God's plan for your life now. He's invited us into a great party. It's a party. It's like, this is what he said pray for. He didn't say, pray that the earth will fall to pieces and everybody will suffer horribly. That is not what he said. He said, pray that God's will be done in heaven will be done on earth. Is Jesus' every prayer answered? Yes. Yes. What are we supposed to pray? That it's all good. Now, you know who God's going to bring his heaven to earth through? Us. God's got you here, just like Marceline's back in the room. Just like the other day when I got prayed. And some of you got prayed for. Didn't you all get prayed for last week? Did anybody else get prayed for besides me? I did. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I think there were several of us. Was it good? Really? Was it good? It's always good. Because he's always good. You know, I would love to do that. So here's the deal. He said, pray this. Guys, we know what God's will is for the earth. It's the same thing that's happened in heaven. Now, last verse. I want to do another verse. We have values that we really want to embrace as a church. One of them is we want to embrace sharing. Sharing what brings you life. Sharing what you have, sharing who you are, sharing yourself. We believe in sharing. And we believe in sharing God's love. You see, we want to share God's love. We don't want to just hoard it to ourselves. I want to give away the peace I found. I want to give away the joy I found. I want to give away the security. I want to give away the family life I found because of him. We want to share all the time, and we want to invite them to church. Now, that's sort of a strange statement, isn't it? Share God's love. Well, you just want to grow the church. You don't have to. Well, okay, forget all that negative stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this church exists to bring people into encounters with God and with love. So we're here to create an environment. Like when we have our family picnics next Sunday night, it's not about the kids playing and the hot dogs you're going to eat and the dessert you're going to have, whatever. That's just a place so that we can have provide encounters with Jesus Christ. We want to, next week, I've seen this 100 times. Like whenever I saw an adult wash the soap out of a kid's eyes and embrace him. I've seen adults, when kids get hurt, because they do in life, they got hurt and they got on their knees and they held the kid and they encouraged them and comforted them and they told them they were going to be okay. I saw somebody when their feelings were hurt. I saw, listen, not everybody has an easy life. We all have this stuff going on. And I saw somebody who was just tired. I've seen you guys do this. I've seen a tired mother. You know, it's hard, right? I've seen a tired mother who's just worn out and can't get up another night and can't do another thing. And I've seen an older, more experienced mother put their arm around them and pray with them and speak life to them and give them something that came from God. You see, that's what family night's about. It's about touching children and touching teenagers and touching adults. You know, not everybody had an easy time growing up. I saw this happen here. Somebody that, and I don't know if anybody else knew it, but somebody as a man, a young man who had a hard time, who didn't have parents that cared about him, who didn't, it was like a negative environment and chaos and just hard life. And now he's trying to raise children. And you know what we do? We don't know if we're doing okay. We don't know. We're doing the best we can, and maybe we start judging ourselves, and we have this hard look at what life is. And I saw an older father lay a hand on this guy's shoulder, just lay his hand on his shoulder and then lean over and talk to him, and I just happened to hear what he was saying. He said, you know, you're doing good. You're okay. And I saw that young man relax and something happened in here. Guys, that's what we have these things for. That's why we gather together at a church or a connect group or family night or the family picnic next Sunday night. It's to provide an opportunity so that God's people can share God's love with others. It's worth your life. You'll have nothing better happen to you than when you know that God used you to touch someone else's life. And many of you, I've watched you do it over and over and over. And so you know what? I want to share God's love with people individually as much as I can all the time. And I invite people to come here to whatever, to youth, to children, to family night, to picnics, because I know if I get people around you, I know what you're going to do. You're going to love them. You're going to minister to their hearts. You're going to be sensitive to what they're doing. You're going to actually be present. You know, we live in a world where people just aren't present. They don't really look at you. They don't really hear you. They're thinking about what they're going to do. No, I know when I bring people here, they're going to be loved. And Jesus is going to touch them. And you know what? The best thing that ever happens to me is when I get to be a part of that with somebody. I love being Jesus' hands and his feet and his voice here on earth. And seeing what really matters. You see, I'm looking for treasure, and it's not money. It's this treasure. It's the treasure that God treasures. So this coming weekend, we've got a big opportunity, you know. This Wednesday is our last family night for this semester. We'll be starting again in September. But family night, it's great to have Bible studies. It's great to do those things. But I tell you, when you look at the Bible, you know what God said? He called us to love him. Y'all know that verse, right? It's a great verse. Matthew 22:34, the greatest commandment, right? They were trying to trap Jesus to condemn him. The Pharisees and Sadducees were, and Jesus, they asked him a question, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Well, how do you do that? How do you love God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind? I just asked God, I said, you know how you do it? Simple. Create opportunities to have encounters with him, because you know what he loves more than anything? Is you. Create opportunities for you to have encounters with him. That's what he loves. Study the scripture, read the Bible, pray, worship, talk to him, share your hurts, share your concerns, share your victories. He just wants you to have worship, doing life with God. Is what just explodes in his heart. That's what he wants. That's why Jesus came, was so he could do life with you and be one with you. Discover who he is through nature, through art, through music, through whatever you look at. Discover him in it. When you read the scripture, don't just read it for the facts. Read it to discover his heart, to discover his thoughts, to discover what he is, who he is. That's who you're looking for. Then the second commandment, right? He said, the second's like it. This is Jesus said this stuff. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, you know how you can't love your neighbor until you love yourself. That's what Jesus said. You know how you love yourself? Have encounters with him. Set it up. Spend time with him. This is for you. This is, you know, if you want to love him, you spend time with him. If you want to love yourself, spend time with him. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to tell you who you really are. He's going to tell you how he sees you. He's going to tell you, he's going to share his life with you. And you're going to see that you're not a nobody. You're not secondhand. That you actually make a difference in the world. And he's going to show you things that you've never dreamed or imagined. You spend time with him. You worship. Read the Bible. You spend time with him through relationships with other people. Gather together. Go to small group. Go to connect to the family night. Come on Sunday morning. Stand and worship. be around God's people. And you know what happens when you hang around God's people? You're going to find out who he thinks you are over and over and over again. And then guess what you're going to do? How do you love others? Create opportunities for others to encounter him. Create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in your life. That's what we do here. That's what we're doing next Sunday morning. That's what we're doing Wednesday night. That's why we gather, is we create opportunities for people who don't have a life of encountering him so that they can encounter him. And we do it. And it's invaluable. It's very valuable. So what's that look like? At the back to school picnic next Sunday night, you participate. You serve. You give. You bring a smile. You come and be present and care and share who you are. Share your life with the people you encounter, the children, the all ages, because it's a family picnic. And you know what? Some of us, it may be physical work, it may be cooking, it may be giving, but it'll be encountering people so they can encounter him. That's a big thing, you know. And so, actually, I have that. I'm setting this up this way a little bit, but I'm not really. Here's a sign-up sheet for, we need several things here. We got next Sunday, too, but we're all bringing stuff and helping. Like, we need 5 people to volunteer for cleanup. We need 4 people to volunteer to set up the stuff. We already have food set up done. And we need at least 2 people that will cook the hot dogs. And, you know, there's just stuff we need. So there'll be a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. And Josh Carillon will be holding it along with Lucy. Is she sleeping? She won't be when we quit. I'll take Lucy. Josh is going to be holding this out there in the foyer so you can sign up. We also, I don't know who will get to. This is a big deal. This is a Saturday, this coming Saturday, we're going to tear this barn down because it's unsafe. We're going to redo the children's area. It's got to happen. Peter Baker's in charge of it, and he's working today or something. He's gone. He's working, yeah, because Missy's here. So Peter's in charge. We're going to have a big dump trailer. He'll bring his tractor. We need manpower. We're going to start at 6 a.m. next Saturday morning, and this is a sign-up sheet so that us men will be accountable and our bad memories, it'll help us. If you sign up, we'll send you a text to remind you before Saturday. And so this will be out in the foyer on that table, you know, between the two doors. And we need help. We've got to tear that barn down, and we need to do it in one day, which that's a big deal because we have the picnics the next day. So we're under a deadline. So Camille, would you give this to Josh and set this on that table out in the foyer by the front window. There you go. Thank you. I'm excited about it, guys. And I believe this is who we are. I'm so proud that as I was thinking this through, y'all are a great example of how to share God's love. And how you do it is amazing. So I wish we had more time. I'd like to do it. This morning, I really believe that God wants to show up. He is waiting for you. He wants to be with you today. So if you have, I was thinking, if you need God, and I know that sounds vague, but it's not vague. Like, I knew last week I needed God. I didn't really know what for until I heard that song. But God wants to come. You know how you love him? You take him your problems, your sorrows, your wants, your needs, your victories. You take it to God. Okay? So if you can, let's stand up and we'll pray. And we'll have people up front that would love to help you find God this morning. So God, I just thank you for what you're doing in our lives, what you've done today. God, I thank you that I live with people that are so willing to share your love with others. So Jesus, his love is calling you this morning, whether it's a physical need or your heart, whether it's your mind. Whatever you need today, Jesus wants, it's how we love him. It's by taking him our sorrows, our pains, our hurts. Jesus is calling you this morning. He's asking you to come. He wants to meet you. Give him a chance. Just give him a chance today. So Jesus, I just ask you to speak to each one of us that needs you this morning, that you want to encounter today. So if you'd like to have an encounter with the Lord this morning, I just ask you to come up front and either one of these teams will share his presence with you. Amen. So thank you for coming this morning, for being here, and we are very proud you're here. God bless you guys. Look.